Welcome to part three, the final installment of podcast number 55, featuring Rich Schapelsky and Adam Fox of Kennard Vineyard.
One of the questions I ask everybody, not that there's a big competition as much these days, but corks and caps. Do we have an opinion here?
I would have to say that the screw cap is probably a better closure for freshness. I mean, it's just the technology. I mean, we'll always use cork. We're small, we're traditional, but, you know, there's no prejudice against it.
No, I like the screw caps on white wine. For some reason, I think it's perfect. But what it has done is all the cork manufacturers are really improving the product.
I've heard that.
They are doing a lot more testing, looking for cork taint in a bottle. And so the corks have gotten a lot better. And so there's a place for both of them.
Competition
is good.
You to improve your product.
As I would like to think, same thing here in the Valley. I mean, the one thing is you probably, like you said, can't really buy a bad Napa wine. I mean,
Napa Valley is just one of those unique growing areas. And it's just, I mean, they're good wines. So we're trying different wines. I mean, there's so many. I don't even know how many wineries are. I think there's over 500 wineries now. And there are just some, you just keep finding small gems. And unfortunately, a lot of the public or the world or the country is not going to find them because, number one, we can't ship direct to some of the states. And number two is the production is so small that people find out about it. Like, even with us, is the people that we never were open for anyone coming through here until this last summer. And only 3 days a week, a couple tours. But even from that, people who have joined our wine club have gone back and shared their wine with people. And we're getting business from them now. It's really kind of interesting is how you grow. And Adam was right. He came to me and I wasn't doing it right. And he tells me I'm still too cheap, but I'm going to stay there.
You're doing it right.
You
have such an amazing product here. You have such amazing grapes. And, you know, I just put you to work because you were playing too much golf and relaxing
traveling.
Too
I like,
much.
My
and
wife
traveling,
likes to travel.
And you
I like
went to
travel.
Tuscany. And, you know, it's just like I said, you know, you got to get down.
You got to do it while I'm young.
Your nose is the grindstone. You can't be screwing around anymore.
Rich, you were talking about a wine called Adam's Blend. Tell me about that.
Adam's Blend is it's a unique story. We were doing our throwback blend, which is 80% cab or over 80%, mostly cab-based. And it's the Bordeaux that I really wanted to do. We were very happy with it. Our winemaker was here and a tasting party. I mean, we were mixing, and it's like working in a lab. You're mixing different ratios of everything together and putting it together, and then you finally come up with the blend you like. So we were doing that, and we did the throwback blend, and was very happy with it. My winemaker was up here, and my son, who was 24 at the time, his name's Adam, and he came over, saw what we were doing, and he's worked at some of the wineries. He's worked at Hall, he's worked at Clos Pegase. Saw what we're doing, and as I said, he has a really good palate. So he came over and started doing his own blend. And he came over and he says, "Here, Dad, try this." And I tried it, and I thought, "This is really good." Now, my winemaker was there, and I says, "Here, Brian, try this." And Brian tried it, and said, "That's okay." Typical winemaker, right? I mean, but I noticed, you know, we're having dinner that night. He kept going back to it. And finally, he says, "You know, that is really good." So without telling my son, we put together two barrels of his blend, which is mostly Cab Franc with the Merlot and Cab. And so we took two barrels, made 48 cases of it, put his name on it, called it Adam's Blend, gave it to him for Christmas.
Oh, what a nice gift.
It's just a great gift.
Can I be your son?
Yeah. Well, on a lark, we entered it into the LA International Wine Competition. And he came away with a 94 rating, best of class, and a gold medal. And, of course, I had to call my winemaker and tell him that we got, you know, the gold medal best of class, 94. And he goes, "Oh, great, what wine was it?" And so I told him it was Adam's Blend. And there's that pregnant pause. And he goes, I says, "Wait a minute, Brian, did you do anything with that?" And he goes, "Well, I tweaked it." So, but he did. He did help with it. So, but because my son did that, that's why we're coming out with the three Bordeaux blends. We decided we do a Cab Franc base. Which is our Adam's Blend. We're going to do in our throwback, which is cab-based. And then our Merlot is our rescuer, and it's a Merlot-based. And we've tried them already. They're in the bottle. the 09, and we're really excited about them.
I think to a small degree, Cab Franc has suffered a little bit, as Merlot has, simply because it's just simply doesn't get the attention. But at auction, I see it at the barrel auction, I have seen a handful of winemakers making nothing but Cab Franc, which I think is pretty gutsy.
Yeah. No, it is actually really good.
And the people that like Cab Franc go crazy for ours. I mean, because it's three of 3 acres, and we do a very serious Cab Franc, and so we made the single varietal this last year in 08, but in 09 it all went into the blend.
I think that comes down to never underestimate your wine until you've drank it.
That's right. Yeah. That's right.
Well, what I've tasted so far is very good, so you are obviously doing it right, but we focus on small wineries. And what we also focus on is family wineries. In the Napa Valley Vintners Association, there's just over 400 members, as I recall. What is it? I think it's 80-some percent, if not higher, are family-owned wineries.
Yep. Yeah.
America was built on small business. This is the model for small business.
In the Napa Vintners, I forget how many members. It's somewhere around 500 members.
Oh, is it up to 5 now?
Or okay. 480, 500,
yeah,
somewhere.
It's up there.
And I heard a statistic the other day. It's like 90% of them are under 5,000 cases. And I mean, you hear about the Mondavis in the beginning, you know, they're all good. The Montalina, and right down the road, we have
Sterling.
Clopagos.
Sterling's across the street. Clopagos is next
but
door.
But I mean, it's small farms, if you want to call it. It's a farm.
It is farming. That's what
it's
all
farming.
About.
I mean, I was on the tractor this morning. You can see I'm out working on stuff. And I enjoy it. I love it. I love doing this stuff. And it's a lifestyle. And so we just love it. And if we can share with people, we love doing it.
And
so.
I think that's the best part about it. All wine drinkers, like people who love food, love to be able to share a recipe, love to be able to share a bottle of wine and turn somebody on to something.
If you have a chance to come to the Napa Valley and taste the wines and do it, you should do it. I mean, it's in the fall is a great time to do it, with the harvest, or even springtime, the summer. I mean, here we are in February. We're standing outside in shirt sleeves. And I mean, this is unusual this year. And I'd like to have rain. But here we are. You know, it's just a great place to visit. It actually is one of the wonders of the world. We've been all over the world traveling, but we come back here and it's like, you know what, this is pretty nice.
The one thing I think, again, we try to get our listeners to understand is it's not just the money, of course, that goes into the wine, but the labor. So pick your average row. How many times do you visit in the course of 365 days?
How many times do we visit a row? I'll take you through the whole process, how we do it. Okay, first we do the pruning. Then we come through and a couple months. This is February. So March, April, probably towards April, towards the end of the buds will start pushing out. And this year, probably earlier because of the warm weather we're having right now. But the buds will start pushing out. And then that's the only time we really have to worry about frost in the Napa Valley. And you see we have 3 wind machines on the property. And we have automatic alarms that go off if the temperature comes through and, you know, circulates, you know, we put the fans on, circulates the air, and we do that.
Are you one of the winemakers have a alarm in your bedroom?
I do.
Okay.
My wife sleeps in the other room during that period. But we do that. At my age, I let the workers come out and turn the machines on and all that stuff. So when the buds are coming up, we do that. And right after that, after they have pushed out about a foot or so, then we come through and sucker. It's the easiest time to do it, take it off. And then we come through. So we're visiting the vine again. As the canes are getting bigger, we have a dual wire system out there. So we move the wires so the cane, we want to open up the inside so the sunlight gets into it. And so we it's called moving cane or, you know, positioning cane on our trellis system. Then we'll go through and do some leafing and other suckering. So it's another pass through. And again, it's all with workers. And then when the grape starts turning color, Verasian and everything.
Verasian.
We'll drop off fruit that is not ripening or second crop. We'll come through because we want all the energy to go into the good bunches. And usually we'll only leave about 2 bunches each cane. Again, I mean, if you're just in it for quantity, you know, you let everything grow. You pick it all and do it. But we, you know, we're into quality here, and most of the Napa Valley is. So you leave it about 2 bunches. And then you come through, and Adam mentioned dropping fruit. And if it hasn't turned a certain color at a certain time, we'll cut the fruit off and let it drop to the ground so we know when we're delivering. And then before we pick, we'll go through and de-leaf. We'll take leaves away from the fruit zone so we don't have the other matter. It's MOG, they call it, other matter that gets in with the grapes when we're taking them to the press. And then we come through and we clip them off or cut them off. After that's all done, we'll come through, and what we do, we put in a cover crop every year down each row, and we come in seeded, and then we put compost on. No chemicals. It's taking care of the land. If we take care of the land, we'll get good wine. And that's our mandate here, or our little time on earth. That's what I'm put in charge of this property to take care of it. It's the land. So
it's a fairly simple process. You know, you visit the line a few times, it's no big deal.
A very simple process that
10, 12 times a year.
Yeah. And again, it's important for people to understand, especially when you drive through an area like Napa Valley, you look out and you see these vines, and then you put that into man hours. So when you look at a price of a bottle of wine, it's important to see that's where it's going. That's where it's ending
up. And with the price of land here in Napa, I mean, luckily we bought back in the 83, so... You know, we don't have the big nut to cover as far, and you could see where.
Which is why you can sell it for 45.
I can do it at 45. I mean,
most people can't.
But if I was, just buying the land now, it would be, a $90 bottle of wine.
So, where can our listeners find out a little more about Kennard Wines?
KennardVineyard.com, and we have all the information on the website.
And if they'd like to come out and maybe talk to you, is there a number they could call?
On the website, you could. Call us, email us, and hopefully if you're coming out to visit, come and see us. So you can go on to Cellar Pass. It actually has a schedule, a calendar, where openings, so if we're only open a couple of hours, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, you can just go on and simply see which slots are open and book it.
Book the time.
Smart idea.
And then we get an email saying, two people from blah, blah, blah.
No, it's come out, join us. Yeah.
Excellent. That's great. That's all there was to it.
Okay. Fun.
Adam, Rich, I want to thank you both for providing such a wonderful day for me to come out here and stand out here in the vineyard and hang out in your deck. And
you enjoy the wine.
I have very much.
There you go.
Learn more about Kennard Wines on the web at kennardvineyard.com.
Watch for our third April podcast, number 57, featuring Bruce Vigalia, winemaker for Cliff Family Vineyards on Howell Mountain.
Life Between the Vines was produced by Ray Pfister. Post-production was completed at Fifth Floor Recording Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Edited by Ray Pfister and our intern, Bob Warner. Original music composed by Tim Turton. Narrated by Kay Paskoff. Web design by Jenny Holland. Our web geek is Tim Panicucci. Photography by Jeanette Herniak. Copyright 2012.